My name is Zion Ameaba. I'm the founder and the president of the Mandate Health Empowerment Initiative, MHEI, and also the convener of the African Mental Health Reforms Consortium. For us, mental health reform simply means mental health legislation, mental health policies, mental health plans. So when these three are in place, for us, we feel we are fulfilling our mandate. And the second area for the mental health is mental health community care. We're very interested in driving community mental health care. So whether it be access to mental health care, whether it be, you know, the availability or the cost of mental health care to the average Nigerian, to the Nigerian at the rural or at the grassroots, it's very important to us. So these are the two major things we deal with when we talk about or when we pride ourselves as a mental health organization. And of course, we also deal with the issue of preventing drug misuse and also caring for drug users, drug dependent, people who are coming down with drug disorders. And this is what we've been doing for the past 6 years. Mental health is not only limited to those in the four walls of the psychiatry facilities. Why this is very important to note, I will also like to appreciate the existence of the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital that we have and some other mental health facilities that we have across Nigeria. All right, so we do not refer to people who come down with mental health disorders alone that, okay, these are just a population that the facility should be dealing with. I mean, there are a couple of mental health issues, mental health disorders that can be attended to outside the neuropsychiatric or the psychiatric hospital. So mental health is not only, okay, should not only be seen as a concern or a subject matter that is only dealt within the confines of the psychiatric hospitals. Well, I mean, it would interest you to also know that we have dearth of statistics in Nigeria. There have been very low surveys or research, you know, on the subject matter of mental health in Nigeria. Okay, thanks to WHO and also some other institutions here and there that are coming up with some form of research works. But then, over time, it's been seen that the possessive factor of mental illnesses or mental disorders in our dear country, Nigeria, have to do with issues like drug substance misuse and also poverty. So these are the two very strong causative factors that we are seeing to be leading the concerns around the mental health sector of today from our own research and from our own engagement at the grassroots level. You see, the passage of the Mental Health Bill, which has been a very strong campaign that have been on ground for the past couple of years, is a very good plus. We sincerely appreciate all the actors that have been involved, from the Federal Minister of Health to WHO, Christian Blind Mission, CBM, and to other local mental health NGOs in the country. So it's not just about the Mandate Health Empowerment Initiative. I remember that in 2017, we began an aggressive campaign, an aggressive advocacy for the repeal of the 1958 Lunacy Act. And I can assure you that this didn't really come down easy with us. We've suffered a lot of criticisms. We've suffered a lot of setbacks. We've suffered a lot, so many pitfalls. But I want to say today that the passage of this bill from that's gone through the third reading and has moved from the red chambers to the green chambers, it's a very huge plus, because without mixing words, I can't overemphasize on the importance of it, but I can just run through some few. The passage of this bill repealing the 1958 Lunacy Act in this country, Nigeria, will help provide a legal framework to regulate mental health and substance abuse service delivery. Two, it will help enhance a formidable front for all of the lapses and the lacunas and the gaps we see in the mental health service delivery across the nation.
free.
This repeal of this particular Lunacy Act of 1958 will help protect the rights and the freedoms of those persons living or who have come down with mental health disorders or who are having to experience drug or substance misuse disorders. Four, this particular Lunacy Act that has been repealed graciously by the 9th National Assembly will help to provide an enhanced quality of life for not only those at the rural areas, but also those at the urban settings. It will help improve the quality of life by ensuring that Nigerians have access to well-equipped, integrated mental health service delivery. This is what we are calling for. This is what we have seen. There is a gap in Nigeria, especially as it concerns the mental health service delivery across the nation. So this particular Lunacy Act that has been repealed is not something that will just serve at the national. It's not just something that will serve at the state level, but also at the primary healthcare level, which has been our cry, which has been our area of focus, because those at the primary healthcare level deserve quality life, deserve to lead a quality life, and it begins with ensuring that mental health is cared for. All of these things that I've mentioned that this repealed bill will be serving is a huge gap in the old law. The old law does not in any way match with the realities of the mental health challenges that we have presently. Across the globe right now, there are trends of issues arising from either pandemics, either socioeconomic issues, either from insecurity. There are so many issues that are coming up now, breeding all sorts of mental or psychological disorders. And until we have a national framework or a national act or a law that will support and provide plans and provide policies, there have to be policies on ground. And we have to have not just plans and policies, we need to have legislation that will back up the implementation of this act across the nation. So we're not condemning in totality the 1958 Lunacy, but we're saying it does not match up with the realities of today's mental health world, whether in forms of the treatment that should be available, whether in form of the care or the psychosocial support that should be provided, whether in form of the rights and the freedom of people who have come down with mental health disorders or substance misuse problems. I mean, all these have to be cared for. And it is a huge gap in the existing Lunacy Act. I can also guarantee you one more thing that this repeal act will be doing. It will help to protect everyone who is come down with mental disorder or substance use disorder against discrimination, against victimization, against any form of dehumanization, especially at the workplace, especially at treatment centers, especially across walks of life, whether it be it schools or academic. We want to ensure that this particular repealed act cares for the individuals across all walks of life.
Talking about how we began our engagements, advocating, lobbying, and getting involved with other critical stakeholders for this particular repeal of the 1958 Lunacy Act have been very wonderful. You know, it's a story that we can't tell in a hurry because there are so many things that happened. We can't forget in a hurry because of how painful they were. So many institutions and so many persons also misunderstood our stand and our position for drive for the repeal of this Lunacy Act. Some of our engagements were also challenged, not only even misunderstood, but thankfully, I can guarantee you that today we're on the same page. I want to also have you understand that the journey through the advocacy, the lobbying, and the engagement for this mental health bill have not just been a call for the Mandate Health Empowerment Initiative alone. I want to thankfully appreciate the Federal Minister of Health, Mental Health Action Group Committee from the Federal Minister of Health, the CBN, the WHO, Nigeria. I mean, they have immensely contributed to helping the advocacy and all other engagement, you know, to work out well. We've had several sittings and several meetings for the drafting, and thankfully, a very beloved mentor, Professor Guruji Oye, you know, who is the chairman of this action committee for mental health from the Federal Minister of Health. Couple of meetings here and there, couple of engagements, like two remarkable ones that I would just quickly have to mention. The meeting 2017 and also the meeting 2019, three-day meeting. A lot of stakeholders were involved. The Association of Psychiatrists of Nigeria, led by Professor Taiwo Sheikh, the Clinical Psychologists Association. A lot of stakeholders were involved in this whole process. I want to say here that we were hoping that all of this was going to happen at the 8th National Assembly. But, I mean, having passed the first and second reading at the Senate floor, it ended. The 8th Assembly tenure was ended. But I want to say here that it's painful to see that some critical stakeholders did not see the need or the urgency for prioritizing mental health in their country, Nigeria. I know that suicide, depression, you know, might be underreported, but I'm sure you've heard one case, two cases, some cases, some scenarios, some issues relating, you know, from depression to anxiety to suicide in their country, Nigeria. I do not want to just make light of any population, but I mean, we've heard of professionals, we've heard of doctors, we've heard of well-meaning Nigerians who even are dying by suicide. And like you might be aware, in every 40 seconds, someone somewhere out there is dying of suicide. Over 327 million people globally are suffering from depression, clinical diagnosed depression. One out of four Nigerians have been said to surely experience mental health crisis in their lifetime. These are issues that cause for concerns and prioritization of mental health. But very disheartening, quite a lot of our amiable stakeholders, very concerned or very respectful, you know, stakeholders in the country, did not really see the need to prioritize mental health in this or their country. I mean, are we talking about the out-of-pocket payment? Are we talking about the budgetary allocation for mental health bill? These are all very concerned issues, you know, in our dear country, Nigeria, that we are hoping the repeal of this Lunacy Act of 1958 will help to resolve. So, like I said, it's not just about the Mandate Health Empowerment Initiative. The likes of Gedi Foundation, the likes of NIM Foundation, the likes of Secure the Future. A couple of associations, you know, have been involved in this, about 25 of them. And all the 25 of them, when the public hearing came up in February 17th, all of these, we came together and we came up with a memorandum and it was submitted. It's something that I would like to say, that a couple of local NGOs are very much involved. In as much as we never got a donation, a single dime donation for all of this engagement, we've never been funded for any of our mental health activities. We've never been funded for any mental health engagement. But I can tell you that all of these self-funded activities is yielding. And all of these actors that came together contributed their ideas and their technical know-how to ensuring that we got to where we are today on the subject matter of mental health bill in Nigeria. The biggest success, I think it should be on this subject matter, because like I mentioned earlier, mental health reforms is the crux of the matter for us. It's our thematic core area. We really want to see a country as Nigeria having mental health plans, having mental health policies, having mental health legislation, because we believe that the journey into a healthy Nigeria begins with mental health. So if we have Nigerians mentally healthy, then it's a great success for us. Of course, also the issue of on drug prevention and care is also something very important to us. And we want to thank also the likes of UNDP through UNODC, who funded a project of a 14-month project for us. And we carried along and we trained and we built capacity for five different stakeholders, from the media to religious leaders to traditional leaders to school teachers and to road transport workers, helping them to understand how to promote mental well-being and to prevent drug substance misuse among their stakeholders alongside their populations of works. Yeah, one of the advice I would like to give local NGOs, as a matter of fact, who are also engaging in advocacy work, is please just stay focused. Try to really understand what you're advocating for and stay on it. Build relationship around related stakeholders who are also on the same subject matter. Please remember, it's not just about your organization. It's not just about you. It's about the country as a whole. Can mental health problems be avoided? Okay, so I'm going to answer this a yes and a no. Yes, because if you look at the causative factors of mental disorders or mental illnesses or mental health problems, There are some of them that, yes, we could mitigate. There are some of them that we could avoid. There are some of them we could walk and provide or cushion or come up with coping mechanisms to push aside. There are some categories of mental illnesses that are biological. So this kind of mental health problems, we can't avoid them. We can only counsel, we can only guide, we can only provide health counsel to try to prevent this kind of disorders from happening. But to say it should be totally avoided, this might not work well, especially for the biological causative factor of mental health illnesses in Nigeria. But for the likes of the ones that are caused by poverty, the likes of the ones that are caused by insecurity, like we have currently in this country, the issue of insecurity have breeded a lot of anxiety disorders, have slumped people into depression, have taken people into a psychological state that they can no longer fit into their normal or regular functioning at workplace. So this kind can be avoided. The lines that have been breeded by drug substance misuse can be avoided. We will take up measures to seeing that our conscious engagement do not only take into cognizance of the criminalization of drug misuse, but also from the health perspective of these users, and also the concerns from the caregivers, the burdens on the caregivers that they have to bear. What Nigerians can do to protect their mental well-being, the first thing will be knowledge. Please open yourself to accepting new knowledge about mental health. There's so much misconception out there. There's so many myths out there around mental health. People believe that mental health should not be discussed. People believe that when you come down with mental health or when your families come down with mental health, I mean, you should be an outcast. You should not associate. You should not be found in the public. You should not be found taking up responsibilities or roles at workplaces. This is not correct. One of the things that we like to advise or admonish in trying to look out for mental well-being, you need to understand, first of all, what exactly is mental health? What exactly is mental? Because it's not just people who are eating from the waist bin. It's not about people who come down with psychosis or maybe schizophrenia and they are putting on rags. No, it's not just about that. It's about you. Mental well-being is, first of all, about you listening to me right now, realizing your ability and potential. It's about you developing coping mechanism to deal with daily normal stress. It's about you being productive. It's about you finding reasons to contribute to your community, to your society. Mental health for me will be that Nigerians should look out to understanding what exactly mental health is, to really know what exactly mental well-being is about. Until you have the knowledge of these, the wrong information out there about mental health will just be what will be trending. The wrong myths that we have out there about mental health will be trending. Please understand that mental health is far beyond just people who are putting on rags, people who you see that are or maybe eating from waste bin. No, it's not about that. It's not about people who are losing touch with reality. It's not about those who are no more in control of their emotions, their feelings, and behaviors. No, it's beyond that. So please, in trying to lead a mentally healthy life, understand what exactly mental health is. Do not be ashamed of what is gainful. Mental health is a gainful thing. Do not be ashamed of knowing or asking questions about mental health. Do not feel discriminated. Do not feel victimized. Do not feel so. Seek out knowledge around mental health. Again, I will admonish, the same way we care for our physical health, please begin to consciously care for your mental health. There's nothing wrong with going for mental health assessment. In as much as I know there are very few places you could go for mental health screening, that is one of the things, again, we're hoping that the mental health bill will push in. Because we want to see that in every primary health care, there are health personnel that can help, either through the help of the MHGAP document or through some of the form of capacities that will be built that we're looking at happening very soon. All of this is to help build the capacities of health personnel so that at least they can be able to provide access to Nigerians to carry out assessment or screening on their mental health and then provide the right referral systems for them. Most of the general hospitals, they have psychiatric units. You can find some of them also at some of the tertiary institutions. Please consciously look out for your mental health. Check your stress level, manage your stress level, check your mental health level, and when you need help, please don't hesitate. Do not hesitate. Because all of the things we are seeing across Nigeria in terms of suicide, in terms of people coming down with depressive conditions, it didn't just jump on them. It begins from mild to moderate. When it's not managed, when it's not treated, it goes to severe. So do not wait until it's now moderate or you're now struggling to manage your mental health and the reality of life when it's already severe. No. You know, when you sense any symptom of the signs of these mental illnesses, please seek out for help. It's very okay not to feel okay and to seek out for help.